We will go through our memory verses. Last week's memory verse was James 1:12. Shall we say it together? Blessed is the man who perseveres under trial, for once he has been approved, he will receive the crown of life which the Lord has promised to those who love him. James 1:12. Let's repeat. Blessed is the man who perseveres under trial, for once he has been approved, he will receive the crown of life which the Lord has promised to those who love him. James 1:12. And today's new verse is from Colossians 4:6. It's a command regarding our speech to be with grace and seasoned with salt, so that we'll know how to respond to each person. Let's say it together. Let your speech always be with grace, as though seasoned with salt, so that you will know how you should respond to each person. I'll say that again. Let your speech always be with grace, as though seasoned with salt, so that you will know how you should respond to each person. Colossians 4:6. Yeah, now we will hear God's word from Brother Newton.
I want to turn to Psalms 120. See this. Psalms 120 to 134, they are known as Song of Ascents or Song of Degrees. So this morning we want to talk about these 14 Psalms, Psalms 120 to 134. And you know, the Jews used to sing these songs when they were on their way to Jerusalem, during three festivals in a year. And I believe they used to climb the stairs, and while on the journey they used to sing these songs. So I thought we'll look at some of the psalms briefly for our edification. And I can say these psalms are like a prophetic psalms in the Old Testament about the New Testament church. And I want to begin with Psalm 132. This prayer of David. And I want you to notice one verse here. What David says about the church. Or the... Verse 3. Surely I will not enter my house nor lie on my bed. I will not give sleep to my eyes or slumber to my eyelids until I find a place for the Lord, a dwelling place for the Mighty One of Jacob. The Old Testament church was called the dwelling place of God. That's a beautiful expression. And that comes again here, verse 7. Let us go into his dwelling place. Let us worship at his footstool. And it's repeated again in verse 8. Arise, O Lord, to your resting place. In the Old Testament, of course, they had the tabernacle and they had the ark. And that was known as the resting place. And you see, verse again, verse 13. For the Lord has chosen Zion. He has desired for his habitation. In other words, God wanted to come and dwell with his people. And verse 14. This is my resting place forever. Here I will dwell, for I have desired it. And you know, brothers and sisters, you know what is the distinctive mark of a New Testament church? Children, hello, it's good for you also to pay attention and learn. The distinctive mark of the New Testament churches, not the building, not the music, not the choir, and not how much money we give, it is the presence of God. Did you get it? That is the distinctive mark of the church. And I believe if God's presence is not mightily present in our midst, and I must say, we are failing the Lord. And it is terrible if you are satisfied without God's presence. You know, in the Old Testament we find sometimes, you know, there was a time when the ark was captured by the Philistines, and still many of the Jews were very comfortable without the presence of God. And I want to ask you this morning, brothers and sisters, will you be comfortable without the presence of God in your life, in your home, and in the church? Oh, may we say, Lord, every time we come together, I believe the Lord wants to manifest His presence in a powerful way. And that's the reason it's good to come with the spirit of prayer. Lord, I want Your presence. I want to have an encounter with You. And I believe in the New Testament, in 1 Corinthians 14, it says that, you know, when we come together, there should be such a spirit of prophecy, and we should be convicted of our sins. And it says people should fall down on their face and worship God. That means they encountered God. Oh, may God give us a longing to encounter the Lord and His presence every time we come together. And then, and the Lord does one more thing for us here. Same chapter 132. It's a lovely verse that's blessed my heart. Verse 15. I will abundantly bless her provision. I will satisfy her needy with bread. You know, when we come together, if you come with a need, the Lord will satisfy us with bread, with spiritual food, with spiritual nourishment. And I believe that's another reason why we come to the church, why we come together. We want to hear God's word, the living word, the prophetic word that will satisfy our hunger and thirst. And you know, it depends on our own hunger and thirst, power of spirit, sense of need. And if you come like that to the meeting, I believe every meeting should be a blessed meeting, not just the conference once in a year. I personally believe every time we come together, there should be such a presence of God, there should be such edification, encouragement, such conviction and such repentance that we don't go back the same. And I want to tell you, young brothers and sisters, even on Wednesdays, it is not any different. Even on Wednesdays, our meeting should be so powerful and anointed and rich and edifying. And it all depends on us, how we walk with God, how we live before God. Okay, that is just the introduction. And then Psalm 122, verse 1. I was glad when they said unto me, let's go to the house of the Lord. Oh, how good to go to the meeting in this attitude. I want to ask you this morning, how did you come to the meeting? Did you drag yourself and come? Oh, if I don't go to the meeting, I'll get caught. They'll not let me break bread. Is that the reason why you're coming to the meeting? Or you say, I want to go and meet the brothers and sisters. I want to have fellowship with them. I want to meet God. I was glad when they said unto me, let's go to the house of God. And I believe that's the attitude we must all have. Walk with the Lord and say, Lord, it's Sunday. I can't wait to go to the meeting. I know I'll meet God there. And I know I'll meet the wonderful, godly brothers and sisters there. I want to have fellowship. I'm amazed. People give some silly excuses to avoid going to the meeting. Oh, I had a stomach ache today. And it's cloudy. It may rain today. I'm having a slight headache. You know, you always invent good reason not to go to the meeting. But it wasn't like that with David. He loved the Lord. And he loved God's house. And oh, brothers and sisters, when we love the Lord, we'll come with joy to the meeting. You know, it makes a difference when you come with joy to the meeting. Not just dragging your feet. And that's another mark of the church. There's joy. Like we used to sing in the other song we sing. There's joy in the presence of the Lord. And there's joy when we meet the saints. And then we can ask, why do we come to the church? Yeah. You see the answer here, verse 4, chapter 122, verse 4. To which the tribes go up, even the tribes of the Lord, an ordinance for Israel, to give thanks to the name of the Lord. I want to ask you, brothers and sisters, this morning, why did you come to the church? Can you say, I came to the church to praise the Lord. I came to the church to give thanks and worship the Lord. And see, one chapter, 132 verse 7. Praise is another characteristic of God's house. 132 verse 7. Let us go into his dwelling place. Let us worship at his footstool. We come to the church to worship the Lord. And the Lord, he's the one who's great in the midst. He's been exalted. And I want to tell you, brothers and sisters, the Lord wants to lead us to a higher level of praise. I'm sorry to tell all of us, our praise is pretty weak. I'm not criticizing you all. I'm not blaming you. You know, there's an indication you need to come up higher to where your heart is full of praise during the week. A true worshipper is not just a Sunday worshipper. A true worshipper of God is one worship the Lord from Monday to Saturday, and Sunday he's happy to meet the other saints. And Psalm 132 verse 9, here, let your priests be clothed with righteousness, let your godly ones sing for joy. Sometimes I look at the brothers and sisters, they seem to be heavy. They're not singing with joy. And then verse 16. Her priests also I will clothe the salvation, and their godly ones will sing aloud for joy. Some of you are whispering praises. That's not so bad. But God's will is you should sing aloud. It's good to be obedient to God's word. I want to tell you, when you raise your voice and praise the Lord, you're obeying God's word. You know, that's not trying to be Pentecostal, I want to tell you. That is exactly obeying the word of God. When we come to praise the Lord, we are not to praise the Lord in whispers. I believe you to raise a voice and shout aloud and praise the Lord because He's on the throne, because He's the one who loved us and redeemed us. And I really believe some of us need to change our attitude to praise and worship and not take it so casually. And if you say, Lord, please make me a worshiper from Monday to Saturday, and Sunday your problem will be solved. Sunday you don't have to make special efforts to give a performance. You know, the Lord wants us to be natural people, and we don't make any special effort to praise the Lord on Sunday. I believe the Lord wants to do such a work in us, transform us so much that whether it's Monday or Tuesday or Sunday, it's just the same. I'm just happy in the Lord. I'm just happy to praise the Lord under all circumstances. And that's a wonderful way to live. And if you're not come there, say, Lord, lead me higher. You got to hurry up, brothers and sisters, and obey the Lord. Lead us to such a wonderful place. And then say Psalm 134. Psalm 134 says, behold, bless the Lord, all his servants of the Lord. Did you do that this morning? Who serve by night in the house of the Lord, lift up your hands to the sanctuary. Some of us are pretty shy and timid when it comes to praising the Lord. You got to get over it, brothers and sisters. And the Lord wants to free us. Oh, in the old covenant, David was so free. And we say we are in the new covenant, and I want to say, I hope we are better than David when it comes to praising the Lord. And it says, lift up your hands in sanctuary, to the sanctuary, and bless the Lord. And you know, may the Lord bless you from Zion. You mean heaven and earth. And I want to say this morning, it's good to come to the church with joy. It's good to come to the church with the spirit of praise. I want to say it makes a difference to the meeting. Oh, I believe we should have a powerful spirit of praise and worship. And you know, all those who come here must say, oh, these brothers and sisters are so happy in the Lord. And it's becoming more and more natural for them to praise the Lord. They don't have to put on an act. And that's what I want. I want to be a worshipper every day of the week. Okay. One more mark of the church here. We read in Psalm 122, same chapter. Verse 6. Psalm 122 verse 6. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. That's the mark of the church. May they prosper, love you. You know, all those who love the church, somehow it goes well with them. May peace be within your walls and prosperity within your palaces. We talk about spiritual prosperity here. And it says here, for the sake of my brothers and my friends, I will now say, may peace be within you. For the sake of the house of the Lord our God, I will seek your good. And Psalm 125 verse 5, last verse, peace be upon Israel. Psalm 128 verse 6, last verse, peace be upon Israel. We can say that peace be on the church. The mark of the New Testament church is there is peace. There's no conflict. There's no tension. There's no strife. And brothers and sisters, individually they are at peace with the Lord. Families, husbands and wives at peace with each other. And brothers and sisters who are at peace with each other. That's the mark of a New Testament church. And I want to say, that's not easy to find. You go around looking, so many places there's strife, tension, conflict, and division. But we want to praise the Lord that by the grace of God, we have had peace. And I want to say, our peace must increase and abound so that the church continues to be a place of peace. And another mark of the New Testament church here, Psalm 121, what I call is faith. In the church, there's not only the presence of God, number one, there's joy, there's praise, there's peace, and then there's faith. Psalm 121, I lift up my eyes to the mountain, from where shall my help come? My help comes from the Lord. I wish all of us can shout it. My help. God is my helper who made heaven and earth. He will not allow my foot to slip, and He who keeps you will not slumber. Like someone I read somewhere, the Lord doesn't doze off, brothers and sisters. He's watching over us. He doesn't slumber nor sleep. Verse 5, the Lord is your keeper. He's the one who keeps us from stumbling. And that's why we have boldness and confidence. And it's a shade on your right hand. Sun will not smite you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord will protect us from all evil. He'll keep our soul. The Lord will guard you going out and you're coming in. All of us who are traveling by two-wheelers and four-wheelers in this terrible traffic in Bangalore. Of course, you've got to go carefully. But I believe the Lord will protect us and keep us. And, you know, so good to know that He's a keeper and a helper. And, you know, in Psalm 125 says, verse 1, those who trust in the Lord are as Mount Zion, which cannot be moved. You know, when you have such strong faith in the Lord, you become a strong brother and sister. You can't be moved. You're not shaky. And that's what the Lord wants us to be. And Psalm 100 is verse 3. The Lord has done great things for us. Probably that's what we want to testify. The Lord's been good to us. He not only keeps us from sin and the world and the devil, but He's working in us to do His will and His good pleasure. And I believe we must praise Him and say, Lord, You're wonderful. You've done great things for us. So that is faith. In the church, there should be always faith. And I want to move on to Psalm 130 verse 4. I can't go by each chapter and each verse since we are limited in time. I just touch different verses. Psalm 130 verse 4. But there is forgiveness with you that you may be feared. In the church, we get reconciled with the Lord. And we are cleansed by the blood of Jesus. And we receive the gift of forgiveness after repentance. Why do we receive forgiveness? Shall I tell you, brothers and sisters? So that we can fear God. So that we don't go back into that old vomit. And the mark of the fact that you repented and turned to God and received forgiveness of sins is that you fear Him more and more and more. That is God's will for all of God's children. But whether it's true or not, I'm not too sure. I want to ask you, brothers and sisters, how has it gone since the day you got saved? Since the day you got baptized? Can you say, I repented, I received forgiveness, now I fear God far more than the day I got saved? Then I can say, you're on the right track. Others, I want to say, examine your ways. Go home and say, Lord, why? I'm not fearing You so much as I feared you and I got saved. Oh, and not only that, Psalm 128, there are tremendous blessings on those who fear the Lord. How blessed is everyone who fears the Lord, who walks in His ways. We should be able to say, I learned to fear God, and since that day, God's blessed me. It's going well. I believe all of us must be able to testify like that, brothers and sisters. Not only that, I believe the Lord wants to bless our families. And usually we leave out the sisters. And I want to say this morning, there's a word for all the sisters. It's here particularly for the wives. All the mothers and wives can take it, and all the, including the single sisters, can apply it in your life. It says your wife shall be like a fruitful vine within your house. And that's God's will for all those sisters who fear God, that you will be a fruitful sister, not a dry, stale, backslidden kind of a life. No, that there's a freshness about you, that you're fruitful, that you've got a connection with the Lord, that you're submissive to your husband, and because of that, the blessing of God comes on you. Oh, may God make all our sisters like that, and then you will not just be an ordinary sister, you will be a fruitful sister, bringing glory to the Lord. And I want to say the Lord needs many such sisters in the church. And I want to move on to another mark of the church. Psalm 120. In my trouble, verse 1, in my trouble I cried to the Lord, and He answered me, deliver my soul, O Lord, from lying lips, from a deceitful tongue. What shall be given to you, and what more shall be done to you? Your deceitful tongue. So much is He's talking about the tongue. In the church, we deal with lying lips, deceitful tongue, to such an extent. It says here, what shall be given to you? Sharp arrows of the warrior, the burning coals of the broom tree. The Lord deals with the tongue so that all deceit and lies are removed, and all gossiping is removed, and the Holy Spirit begins to control our tongue. How wonderful when the Holy Spirit controls the tongue of the brothers and sisters in the church. What a blessed church. Oh, may God help us, like we heard this morning. Colossians 4:6, let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know we ought to answer every man. I hope you have interest this morning. Lord, I want my speech to be with grace. It's not enough that I'm cleansed from deceit and lying, but the speech should be so sweet. You open your mouth, there's a blessing. God can do such a fantastic work in you, brothers and sisters, that when you open your mouth, it'll only be a blessing. Amen. Yeah, I want to move on to chapter 131. You know, Psalm 131 speaks about humility. And that's what is needed in the church. Oh Lord, my heart is not proud, nor my eyes haughty. How wonderful if all of us can testify. Usually people say, God saved me and forgave me. I got a job, I got a marriage partner, I got a house. I've heard very few people say, my heart is not proud, nor my eyes haughty. Nor do I involve myself in great matters, or in things too difficult for me. Or in other words, I am not a busybody. I'm sorry to say, in CFC also we have many busybodies. Despite all the strong preaching, brothers and sisters, you need to be cleansed from all being a busybody. And I'll tell you, you will make progress. We are talking about Song of Ascents. That means you want to make spiritual progress? Get rid of being a busybody, and you will make progress. And God will give you a song in your heart. I want to praise the Lord from the day I heard the truth. I never want to be a busybody. I'm not worried who's getting married to whom, who's getting engaged to whom, who's getting pregnant. I'm sorry to say, it doesn't bother me. If you come and tell me, I rejoice with them, I congratulate them. Otherwise, I just mind my own business. And I hope in this year 2015, why can't we make it our testimony? I have stopped being a busybody. I've turned around. I can tell you, brothers and sisters, this year will be a wonderful year for you. Even if you have wasted 5 months in this year, as we begin a new month tomorrow, the next 7 months can be wonderful if you make a decision and say, Lord, I want to fight against pride, arrogance, haughtiness in my eyes. And I want to become more and more quiet. The mark of meekness and lowliness is quietness. Sisters, you want to be fruitful? Oh, sometimes they're so restless. I feel sad.
Sometimes the sisters are touchy. Small, small things irritate them, bug them. You know, when you walk with the Lord, you deal with your pride. You become restful, quiet. And it's wonderful to be like that. It says here, surely a composed and quieted my soul like a weaned child rests against his mother. My soul is like a weaned child within me. I hope this year, 31st night, I'll hear some testimonies. My soul has been weaned like a child. This year, the Lord helped me not to be a busybody and learn to fight against pride. And I become more and more a quiet, calm person. And the church becomes a wonderful place when the number of such people increase. And then, coming to Psalm 133. How many of you know the psalm by heart? Brothers and sisters, hello? How many of you know this psalm by heart? For how many of you, this psalm is a favorite psalm? I love this song. I never get tired of speaking of this psalm. Don't tell me it's an Old Testament psalm, brothers and sisters. No? It says, you behold, in the Message Bible it says, how good for brothers and sisters to get along. I want to ask you this morning, is there anybody with whom you can't get along here? Hello? Behold how good and how pleasant it is for brothers, not only brothers, sisters also included here. Sisters, do you get along with other sisters? Usually sisters have a lot of problems getting along with others. You know, when you let the Lord work in you, when the cross works in you, when the Holy Spirit works in you, one proof will be that you learn to get along. It's not so difficult to get along with the brothers and sisters because the Lord deals with your pride, yourself. And you know, it's wonderful to be under the ministry of the Holy Spirit. And we work in, and there's unity. And it says here, it's like the precious oil upon the head, coming down upon the beard, even Aaron's beard. You know, Aaron was a high priest, and Moses, I heard, he poured the anointing oil on Aaron. And, you know, from the top of his head, it was flowing. And I believe that's the kind of unity the Lord wants us to have. Coming down upon the mountains of Zion, it's like the, verse 3, it's like the dew of Hermon. Coming down upon the mountains of Zion, for there the Lord commanded the blessing life evermore. You know, when there's a unity, when there's humility, when there's purity, when there's faithfulness, and when we allow the Lord to work in us, and we dwell in harmony, the anointing of God comes on the brothers and sisters. I hope you'll covet that. Lord, I want that at any cost. You know, some people have a testimony, wherever they go, they create trouble. They create division. And of course, they're in fellowship with the devil. You know, if you're in fellowship with the Lord, you'll bring peace. You'll promote unity, harmony, and fellowship. And that's what we have stood for all the years. And I want to challenge the next generation. I hope you'll preserve that. What the Lord did for CFC in the last nearly 39 to 40 years. You young brothers and sisters, I hope you'll live in such a way that you can say, I will continue in the footsteps of my elders and walk in unity and harmony and fellowship. And I just want to say in closing, it's not only brothers and sisters. I would like to paraphrase it. Behold, shall I say, how good and pleasant it is for husbands and wives to dwell together in unity. And I believe the Lord wants such homes in our midst. Husbands and wives also were following the Lord. Wives were not backsliders. Both are living under the anointing. And I believe the Lord wants to build such homes in our midst. I hope you will say, Lord, through me, no difficulty will come to my home or to the church. You take up the cross. And when the wife also has the same attitude, Lord, help me, Lord, to be a co-worker with my husband. And so that in my home there will be peace and harmony and unity and fellowship.
And brothers and sisters, we got a lot of homework to do. Hello? All the husbands and wives, you're quiet. I believe you can become wholehearted and say, Lord, I want to be a wonderful husband, wonderful wife, anointed husband and wife. And you know, when you have such an anointing in your home, and you come to the church like that, it's wonderful, I'll tell you. Supposing we have, I don't know how many couples we have. Let's assume we have 100 couples or 150 couples. And imagine that means 300 people, 150 husbands and 150 wives. And they're dwelling together in unity and harmony and fellowship. And they come to the church, they bring that spirit into the church. Oh, you can make the church glorious, all you husbands and wives. And I hope all of you are unmarried. You will say, Lord, give me such a good partner. And if you want such a good partner, you yourself got to be wholehearted. And you know, so many people, they don't seek the Lord when it comes to marriage. And you need to seek the Lord. Lord, give me the right partner who will come along with me, following you. And there it says here, there the Lord commanded the blessing. Brothers and sisters, the Lord is waiting to command the blessing in our home and in the church. And He's waiting for you and me. And I hope this morning you'll say, Lord, I want to be the kind of a husband and wife, the brother and sister, oh, who'll bring the anointing of God on the home and the church and make the church a glorious place where there's presence of God, joy and praise and peace and faith and fear of God and humility and the blessing of God. I want to say in closing, are you going to cooperate with the Lord? Are you going to make the church glorious? David says, I will not give sleep to my eyes. David's desire was to just build a physical temple. But in our case, we are not building a physical temple. Jesus is building His church. And it says in Psalm 127:1, unless the Lord builds the house, those who labor in vain. It's the Lord who's building the house. We are co-workers with Him. You say, Lord, I want to just give my hand and building the glorious church. And you don't need to be a passive, silent, lazy kind of a brother and sister. You can be such an active, zealous brother and sister, zealous husband and wife in building the body of Christ, building the church where there'll be such presence of God. God's resting place, dwelling place will be there, and God's presence and anointing will be there. Oh, may the Lord make the church like that. Can I hear an amen?
Amen.
Amen. I will sing a song now. And then I'll ask Brother Charles and Vetri to continue. And after they finish, I'll ask Brother Ravi and Bhagiraj to take some brief time.
For the benefit of those who are new in our midst, you may be wondering, what is this? What are these psalms of ascents? Even I didn't know until recently, what are these psalms of ascents? You know the word ascending and descending. Ascent and descent. Psalms of ascents is nothing but if you're willing to go higher up in your spiritual life, these are the psalms that tell you what to do. You know, one of the first steps that you need to do or start from the first rung of the ladder is start with Psalm 120, the first psalm of Song of Ascents. The first step, it says, was to deliver my soul, O Lord, from lying lips. This is the first step from lies. Cleanse yourself from the spirit of lying, first of all. The first sin that entered this world is lie from the father of lies. God had told Adam, the day you eat the fruit of this tree, you shall surely die in Genesis 2. But the devil said in chapter 3, you shall surely not die. You know, this is the first sin in the first book of the Bible, and this is the last sin in the last book of the Bible. You read in chapter 22 of Revelation, all liars and liars who love and practice lying will be thrown into the lake of fire. See how serious lying is. For some, it has become second nature. Lying has become second nature. Why do you lie in the first place? Are you insecure? Do you think you'll get some kind of moral boost if you lie and tell something false about you? When you don't have that, you pretend to have it. You know what kind of people God wants on His holy mountain? If you want to dwell there permanently with God, Moses was there with God for 40 days on the mount. You know God, what kind of people God chooses to be with Him permanently on the holy hill? You turn with me to Psalm 15. You know what kind of person God requires to dwell along with Him. Psalm 15, O Lord, who may abide in Thy tent, who may dwell on Thy holy hill, he who walks with integrity and works righteousness and speaks truth in his heart. Not just speaking truth to others through his mouth, but he speaks truth in his heart. Psalm 51, it says, when David sinned, Lord, create in me a clean heart. And he said, God, you require truth in the inwardmost part of my being. When there is truth in my innermost being, then out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Jesus said that. When your heart is filled with lying and the father of lies dwells there, then what comes out of you is nothing but lies, because you love it and you practice it. I'm sorry to say there are some brothers and sisters in CFC who break bread every month. With straight face, they tell lies to people. For decades, they are sitting here. And they think they will not be caught. You think people are not fools sitting here. Some mature brothers and sisters can know, even children know about you. I'm sorry to tell you that you don't know, but the children know who you are. They know you. I'm sorry to say that. It's a very serious sin, my brothers and sisters. Take it extremely seriously from today. By next breaking of bread, resolve to get rid of this spirit of lying, which will take you ultimately to hell. This is the kind of person that God looks for. He speaks truth in his heart. He does not slander with his mouth, nor does evil to his neighbor, nor takes up a reproach against his friend, and so on. You go home and read that. I don't have time for that. Lying is very serious, my dear brothers and sisters. First thing, first step of the rung of this ladder, get rid of lying. Ask God to help you cleanse your spirit and soul, your heart and your mind from this dirty spirit of lying. Let truth rule there. Let the one who said, I am the way, the truth and the life, live there in your heart permanently and rule there, so that your spirit is cleansed and your words will be cleansed, and find your security in God. Then you don't have to lie. When you are insecure, you tell lies. When you are secure in God, no matter what your lot in life is, you'll speak the truth. And the second step, it says in Psalm 121, it is about faith. Trusting the Lord. It's having faith in the Lord. Because it says in Psalm 121, he who keeps you will not slumber. He will neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is your keeper, and he is your shade on your right hand. The sun will not smite you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord will protect you from evil. From this day onwards, he will guard your going out and your coming in. In Deuteronomy 28 also, where God pronounces blessings and cursing, he says, I'll be with you. My presence will be with you in your going out and coming in. This is faith. After you cleanse yourself, the second step is that you trust God to keep you. And then you keep reading the Psalms. The next step the Lord wants is that you have fellowship with one another. It says in Psalm 122, the first verse, I was glad when they said to me, let's go to the house of the Lord. How many of you are glad to come to the meetings on Sundays, Wednesdays, or whenever there is a meeting? Or you wake up in the bed on Sunday morning and wonder, oh, it's Sunday, I wish I could sleep a little longer. I will go to the meeting after the singing is over so that I can go and listen to the message. What kind of person are you? You're not a contributor, you're a consumer. If you come to the meeting after the singing is over, you're not giving what you're supposed to give to the Lord. Your offering of praise and thanksgiving in songs with a glad heart. You come to listen, to consume, not to contribute. If you want spiritual progress, see there in verse 6, second part, it says in the same Psalm 122, may they prosper who love you. Who do you think God prospers? Not those who lazily drag along and come to the meeting at about 10:30 or something like that, quarter to 11 to the meeting and listen some pep talk and then run away soon after the meeting is over without meeting one another. I was glad when they said unto me, let's go into the house of the Lord. Are you glad? Or is it a strain for you to come to the meeting? I look forward to coming to the meeting. It may not be true, but repent of it and tell the Lord the truth. Lord, I am not so excited to go to the meeting. Lord, make me one. I want to. I am not, but I want to. The Lord knows the desires of your heart and He will give you the desires of your heart. Then the same thing, it continues in Psalm 133 also. The fellowship. It says, behold, how good and how pleasant it is for brothers to dwell together in unity. When brothers and sisters dwell together in unity, you know, there are no discords there, and there is no brother who sows discord. You know, God hates those who sow discord among the brothers and sisters. If you are the kind who is always inquisitive to know what's going to happen next in this family, in that family, my dear brother and sister, you should join BBC, not CFC. It's the work of the journalists and the reporters who always are first to click the photo and put it into the paper or in their, you know, network, whatever it is. God doesn't want BBC people to be in CFC. I'm not saying BBC people cannot be in the kingdom of God. They are most welcome, like anybody else, the vilest offender. But don't be so inquisitive. Curiosity kills the cat, there is a saying. If you're curious to know what is happening in this person's life, in that young brother or sister's life, who he is getting engaged to, who she is getting engaged to, who is having the next baby, who is getting married next, brother, it will be announced. Definitely it will be announced. You will not be disappointed. Just have patience. And if you dwell in unity like this, you know what is the result? Go there to the third verse. Brothers, how good and pleasant it is for brothers to dwell in unity. The last verse it says, for there the Lord commanded the blessing and life forevermore. You want the Lord to command blessing on you and life to you forevermore? Then live in unity. Don't be one who sows discord among the brothers, trying to separate them. You know, it is kiddish When you are in school, we used to do that. When my friend talks to another friend and becomes little closer, and I sense I feel little insecure, and I say, okay, I dump them. I don't want them. That it is kiddish attitude. We are not to be like kids. Grow up, the Bible says. Grow up into all aspects like unto Him. We are called to grow, not to remain as babes, my dear brothers and sisters. After fellowship, the Lord commands the blessings there when you dwell in unity. So, cleansing from lying and faith and fellowship. And then there is security for believers. You read about that in Psalm 125. It says, those who trust in the Lord are as Mount Zion, who cannot be moved but abides forever. As the mountains surround Jerusalem, so the Lord surrounds His people from this time forth and forever. You know, Jesus said, if you have faith like a little mustard seed, tell this mountain to get out of the way and it shall go. And you can command it to go and fall into the sea, it will obey. Here it says, there are so many mountains round about Jerusalem, and they are there till today. And God, when Jesus spoke about the mountains, He didn't literally mean the mountains. He meant the mountains in your life, the things that are obstructing you, the things that are hindering you from going forward. Tell them to get out of the way in Jesus' name and believe it in your heart and it shall be so. And here it says, He surrounds you like the mountains. They are like, you know, they will not be moved, but abide forever. As the mountains surround Jerusalem, so the Lord surrounds His people from this time forth and forever. Remember that always. The Lord surrounds you like the mountains surround Jerusalem. There's a verse. It says, the Lord is a wall of fire around them, around His people, and the glory in their midst. The Lord is with you and He is for you against the devil. Always remember that. Your security lies with God. And in case you fall, don't get discouraged. There is a way out. There is the same Psalm 130, it says, Lord, who could stand? But there is forgiveness with Thee, that you may be feared. Why does God forgive us? So that we can continue in sin, go on sinning. The Lord's will is that we fear Him. When we sin, we ask Him, and the blood of Jesus cleanses us from all sin. We don't take it for granted and we don't treat it like tap water lightly. But when I'm cleansed, I fear God. Lord, I don't want to do that again. I don't want to grieve You in the same area. Lord, there's forgiveness with Thee that You may be feared. Verse 7. With Him is abundant redemption, and He will redeem His people from all their iniquities. The promise is there in the Old Covenant that God will deliver us and redeem us and cleanse us and free us from all our sins. He is there to help us. He said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. Be strong in the Lord, my dear brothers and sisters. Have faith and fellowship with one another. Trust in the Lord. Be secure in His love so that you don't have to carry on with your petty lies. God bless you.
Well, I was going through this sounds of ascent. Ascending in our Christian life. The beginning of my Christian life, the moment I came to know the Lord, I was associated with a group of evangelical people. They are mainly interested in evangelism. This verse became so familiar to me in those days. Psalm 126, verse 5 and 6. Those who sow in tears shall reap with joyful shouting. He who goes to and fro weeping, carrying his bag of seed, shall indeed come again with a shout of joy, bearing his sheaves with him. So they told me that I have to preach the gospel, bring people to the Lord. With tears, I have to pray for the people. And the people will be saved, and I have to bring them like sheep before the Lord and offer it to the Lord. I tried to do it myself. I was studying in a college hostel, and in the evening time, when all the students were playing in the ground and walking in the streets, I stand on the terrace and look at them and cry, "Lord, save them. These people are going to hell." I cried. Artificially, I produced a burden within me and cried and cried and cried. Nothing happened. I was not able to bring anybody to the Lord Jesus Christ. But what it means, I couldn't understand that. When I came to CFC in the year 1983, I discovered something wonderful in this the same chapter, previous verse. Restore our captivity, O Lord. Restore our captivity. Okay, how the Lord is going to restore you from your captivity? You are a captivity, are you in captivity in sin, related to sin? Are you a slave to sin? Are you slave to anger? Are you not able to overcome lusting? Are you not able to keep your thoughts pure? Are you unable to overcome dirty thoughts? These are the captivities. These are the things the Lord wants us to make us ascend or overcome, or overcome the temptations and come to an overcoming life. That is written. This is the life in the New Testament that we live. This is written here. How we can get that? So in tears. Then we can bring back or bring the joy of shouting of joy in your heart. You can have that. It is written in Hebrews chapter 5, verse 7. In the days of his flesh, he offered up both prayers and supplications. It is written about Jesus Christ. With loud crying and tears to the one able to save him from death, and he was heard because of his piety. Although he was a son, he learned obedience from the things which he suffered. Yeah, this is the cry. This is the crying we need. We want to ascend in our Christian life. We want to overcome sin. We want to come to a better life, higher standing, higher plane. We want to progress in your Christian life. This is the way. Are you struggling with sin? Are you addicted to internet pornography and unable to keep your thoughts clean? This is the way. Jesus, you came in the flesh. He was exactly like us. He was tempted exactly like us in the days of his flesh, not in the day of his flesh. The first sermon I heard as a Christian, I was born again on a Saturday night. Sunday morning, I went to a nearby church. I heard this word. In the days of his flesh, in the days of his flesh, the preacher preached in the day of his flesh. In the Garden of Gethsemane, Jesus Christ cried with loud shouting and crying, tears and all. He was preaching that. Okay, I thought like that. That's right. But when I came to CFC, I found that it is in plural. In the days of his flesh, Jesus Christ, when he was on the earth as a human being with the flesh, with all the temptations, trials, which we are facing, he has also gone through that. He prayed with and made supplications with loud crying and tears. Why he has to cry loud crying and tears? He should not sin against God. If he has sinned once, he cannot be a savior to us. He cannot be a blameless lamb to shed his blood for us. Not even once he should sin against God. So with that fear of God in his heart, he cried loudly. He was alone, and because he is the Son of God, he is not heard. No. Because of his piety, because of his fear of God, even though he was son, he learned obedience by suffering. Obey the word of God. To obey the word of God, there's a suffering included. Suffering there. Without suffering, you cannot obey. He was perfected in obedience by going through suffering. Because our flesh does not like to obey the word of God. There's an enmity in our flesh to obey God's word. Jesus Christ has gone through that. He obeyed by suffering. Every scripture he obeyed. And whenever he is finding it difficult to obey, he cried bitterly. Alone, when he was alone with the Father, he would have cried. I have found out when I came to CFC, Lord, I am unable to overcome sin. I am getting irritated. I am a person always getting irritated with my wife. The moment my wife says something, I am getting irritated. The moment somebody says something, I'm getting angry. How to overcome anger? How to overcome lusting? The Lord said, this is the way Jesus went. Cry. With loud crying. Tears. Let your pillow become wet by your tears. Then you can overcome. This is the way of ascent. Progress. Spiritual progress. You are unable to overcome sin, brothers. The way is to cry. With loud crying. Loud crying in tears. I have cried and made my pillow wet. Nobody need not know about how much you are crying before the Lord. That cry, that's what says, when you cry, when you sow, the psalm says, no? When you sow in tears, then you will reap joyful shouting. The Lord God who is looking at you in secret, he will reward you openly for which you are crying for. Are you interested to overcome sin? Overcome anger, overcome lusting, overcome internet pornography. If you cry, the Lord who looks up to your heart in secret, the cry in your bedroom when you are sleeping, when you are crying, the Lord looks at that and rewards you openly by rewarding you the thing which you are desiring for, the life to overcome sin, coming to a ascending life, life of progress, life of becoming like Christ, overcoming sin. May God bless you.
We had heard about how these psalms, these 15 psalms from Psalm 120 to Psalm 134, they are called the Song of Ascents. You know, these were the songs we heard in the beginning about how when the Jews were coming on pilgrimage, when they were going from their distant, maybe from the Negev, from the desert to Jerusalem, they would sing it together. They would sing these 14, 15 songs. It would come out from their heart. You know, all these songs, some of these songs are songs of gladness. Some of them are songs of sadness, of crying out to the Lord. But every song is a song of hope. God wants us to have a song of hope in our life. When we see Psalm 22 verse 1, I was glad when they said to me, let us go to the house of the Lord. And that's what the pilgrims were singing. We are on our way to Jerusalem, the house of the Lord. Psalm 23:1, to you I lift up my eyes. They knew their strength was only in the Lord, only in the Lord. They had their eyes on the Lord. Psalm 121 verse 1. I will lift up my eyes to the mountains. As they were coming towards Jerusalem, the mountains from the deserts, they were going to the mountains and it was looming ahead of them. I will lift my eyes up to the mountains. From where shall my help come from? My help shall come from the Lord. My brothers and sisters, these pilgrims on their pilgrim way knew their help was from the Lord. They knew the Lord. You know, some of them, and some of us are in this place where in Psalm 120 verse 5 and 6, and I'm thinking, oh, you know, if I was not in the Samaritan land so far away, if I was somewhere near Judah, then things would have been better. They were singing, woe is me, for I sojourn in this distant land, for I dwell among the tents of this distant place. Too long has my soul had its dwelling with those who hate peace. But you know, my brothers and sisters, whatever our circumstance, whatever our daily circumstance, God wants us to know that He's an ever-present help in our time of need. He does not leave us alone. You know, sometimes it's a situation because of our real foolishness, our real sin. The prodigal son in this distant land, he was so far away, he was stuck in sin. And he knew, if I just go to my father's house, I will have deliverance. They knew their compass was set towards Jerusalem, towards the church, towards the house of God. And they knew that that's where they would receive strength. You know, so I was thinking a psalm that's close by 134. Psalm 137. How can we sing the Lord's song in a foreign land? Verse 137 verse 4. Sometimes we are stuck in that sin. There is no joy in my heart. The song is caught in my throat. How can I sing the songs, Lord's song in a foreign land? God doesn't want us to be there. Instead, He wants to take us to Psalm 126 verse 1. When the Lord brought back the captive ones of Zion, we were like those who dream. Then our eyes were filled with laughter and our tongue with joyful shouting. The Lord has done great things for them. The Lord has done great things for us. We are glad. You know, when we are stuck in the middle of our situations, our sins, our dryness of our day-to-day life, and the song is gone away, let's remember, the Lord has a place for us where, with His strength, where His, with His power, with His grace, the song of gladness, when we come from that distant place to our to the Lord, He will put His song in our lips. He will truly give us, we were like those who were in a dream, it says in Psalm 126 verse 1. We were captive, but the Lord has set us free. That this is the Lord that He wants us to know. This life of pilgrimage is one, but when you come to the New Testament, the Lord wants to give us something more. Right from the first chapter of Matthew, there in Matthew chapter 1 verse 23, He talks about God with us, dwelling place. God wants us to have a dwelling place in us. The last, very last verse of Revelations chapter 22 verse 5, it says, and there will no longer be any night. This is talking about the city of God in the last chapter of Revelations. And there will be no longer any night, then they will have no need for a lamp or for the light of the sun, because the Lord God will illumine them. You know, my brothers and sisters, God wants to give us more than this pilgrim life where we are coming on a Sunday here. You know, our church is so far from the city. For those who are coming maybe from say, Whitefield and all, it's like a pilgrimage. But God doesn't want us to be distant on a Sunday night or on a Sunday or a Wednesday night. He wants more. He wants us to learn that He's calling us to be His dwelling place. The church, the beauty of the church, us individually, God in us, our hope of glory. He's calling us to a dwelling place. I was seeing this Psalm 132. Verse 13 and 14, for the Lord has chosen Zion. He has desired it for His habitation. This is my resting place forever. Here I will dwell, for I have desired it. This, when you know, when the Lord looks at us, He's looking, talking about us. The Lord is talking about us. I want to dwell here in the midst of this people. The Lord has called us to a life beyond this life of one day a week, or maybe one day and one night in a week. He's calling us to a life where we can know Him on a day-to-day basis. Every day of the week I can know Him. I can come to Him. I can depend on Him. I can get strength from Him. I can see my brothers, my fellow brothers, and know the Lord together with them. Know the Lord together. This is what the Lord has called us to. I want to end with Psalm 132 verse 7. Let us go into His dwelling place. Let us worship at His footstool. That is the life we are called to. We're hearing this ascending life, the Psalms of Ascents. He's leading us into the most holy place, the church, a life of knowing God on a day-to-day basis, on finding Him as my ever-present strength. Amen.
I was blessed reading Psalms from 122 to 133. It has really blessed my heart, you know. Like we heard, God wants to prepare a dwelling place for Himself. And I was thinking, you know, someone said the church is like a hospital, and where we come and get healed and go back rejoicing. And someone said church is like a banquet, where we come and have a banquet and our hungry souls will be nourished and cherished, and we go healthy and rejoicing. And I was thinking about David, even though he lived in the old covenant, and he said in Psalm 122, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of God. I believe that the desire, that longing that David had, and the house of God, you know, I was thinking the verse that we heard in Psalm 132 was 13, for the Lord has chosen Zion, He has desired for His habitation. This is my resting place forever. Here I will dwell, for I have desired it. Two times I have desired it. And then I will abundantly bless her provision. I will satisfy her needy with bread. Every time we come together, the Lord really want to meet with us. That is the reason why we can rejoice and we can go with joy and gladness. You know, I was thinking about in this connection, today the Lord has prepared a body where we are the body. And each time we come together, the Lord is in our midst with His presence. And He wants to speak to us and He wants to meet with us. And I was thinking about this miracle which is recorded in Matthew chapter 9, verse 21. About this woman, Matthew chapter 9, verse 21. She was saying to herself, if only touch His garments, I will get well. Each time we come together, I said, today the Lord has prepared a body. We are the body of Christ. As we come to meet together as a body of Christ, the Lord is here in our midst. Like that woman, if only I could reach out to Jesus and touch Him, I'll get well. I want to come to the church, to the body of Christ with this attitude. You know, today, the body of Christ, we are the body. As we come together, we can reach out to Jesus and we can be healed. And I'm sure this woman would have gone with rejoicing, with joy and gladness. We can also go forth with joy, healed people. Every time when we come together, like I remember that chorus we sing that, I believe He's here now, standing in our midst with the power to heal us and grace to forgive. Each time we come together, no matter what our situation, we can come to Him with that faith. That is the faith, you know. When there is a presence of God, we have a faith that the Lord is our keeper and He will meet with us and He wants to reach out to us, that we can reach out to Him too. You know, I believe that is the life, that is the ascending life which the Lord wants to lead us. It's not that we come together every Sunday and go back, same people. No, God wants to meet with us, that we don't return in the same way. Even today, we may have so many things. We would have come with some heaviness, burden, like that woman. Oh, if only I could reach out Jesus. My brothers and sisters, Jesus here in His body, that is the place He dwells. He's not dwelling in the temples and the buildings. He dwells in His body. And He prepared a body for Himself. And we are His body. When we come, when we open ourselves, you know, in closing, I want to read from Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 23 onwards, it says in Message Bible, so let us do it full of belief, confident that we are presentable inside and out. Let us keep a firm grip on the promises that keeping us going. He always keeps His word. Let us see how inventive we can be in encouraging, loving and helping out, not avoiding worshipping together as some do, but spurring each other on, especially as we see the big day is approaching. The big day is not far from us. It is approaching. May we come together, and each time we come with a great joy and expectation and faith that the Lord will meet with us. Amen.
Shall we close eyes and pray? Lord, we thank You for Your presence, Lord. Thank You, Lord, that You want to meet with us. You want to dwell amongst us. Oh, we pray, help us to be the kind of people we ought to be, Lord, that You can command the blessing on each one, Lord. Help us, Lord, to bring joy to Your heart. We pray You'll build Your church, Lord. Thank You for Your presence and Your word. Thank You for all the saints who come together, Lord, this morning. Oh, we praise You, Lord, for Your faithfulness. We worship You, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.